So grateful today that I have an aunt and a nephew that are being baptized. But before we introduce them and baptize them, Brittany's dad, which is also Micah's grandfather, wants to say a few words. So I'm going to invite Donnie. Where are you, man? Come up here to the pulpit, if you would, and share what's on your heart.
Good morning. I was thinking about this morning on the way to church, and the greatest love is for a man to lay down his life for another, as Jesus Christ did for us. Close second in my heart is what you're going to see this morning, is to know that one day that my daughters, my grandsons, and most of my family are going to join me in heaven. What a tragedy it would be to be the only one of your family in heaven. I don't care how you do it. Beg, borrow, steal, plead, whatever it takes to get your family here and get them under the word, so that one day you can enjoy the awesome blessing that you're going to see this morning. And I can't say enough of knowing of having my children here. And I just want you to pass that along to you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen, Donnie. Thank you. Spot on. And I'm so grateful for that beautiful testimony. And I'm so thankful that Brittany Brewer comes to be baptized. Brittany, we're so very proud of you, and we know that you recommitted your life to Christ and wanted to follow through the waters of believer's baptism, and we are so proud of you. And I want to ask you, Brittany, as I do everyone that enter into these waters, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
And upon your profession of faith in him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That Micah Kearns comes to be baptized. Micah, we're so very proud of you and how special that you can be baptized with your aunt and your mom's over here on the side and your family. They're here and we just celebrate. Micah, I ask you, as I did Brittany, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
And upon your profession of faith in him, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Ready? May we pray together. God, what a beautiful day this is. We know the angels are celebrating and rejoicing in heaven over Brittany's decision and, Lord, over Micah's decision and, Father, over the testimony of Donnie. And, Lord, I pray that their baptism would be a witness, would be an example for others who need to follow through and make that same commitment, whether they're a young person or an adult, a senior adult. It's not too late. And I pray, God, again, your blessings upon them as they walk in newness of life. And again, I pray if there are those here today who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that they might ask for your forgiveness, invite you to come into their heart, and that you would save them, O Lord, just as you saved me and us. So, Father, we just praise you. And we commit this service to you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
I've got to go to my Let's sing this great hymn together.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
Amen. Yeah, let's praise him this morning. Well, good morning. It's so good to see you this morning. Welcome to worship in the Forks. If you're a guest, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. There's a QR code on the screen behind me or the pew seat in front of you. We just ask you to take a moment, scan that QR code, we get to know you a little bit better. At the end of the service, we have a special gift for you out here in the Welcome Center. But it's an exciting way to start the service with baptism and to see you singing this morning. Take a few moments and greet somebody around you. Thank you.
washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Our God will finish what He started.
again, just the voices.
How marvelous, how
let's praise him this morning, church. Amen. He's worthy of it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. We celebrate how marvelous the grace and the love of God is. And if you're here today and you feel pretty unlovable or you think you're unforgivable, don't listen to the devil's lie, because God loves you and he will forgive you. And all you have to do is place your faith and your trust and your hope in Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful that we are a church that believes in the power of prayer. And I know some of you maybe are going through a difficult time right now. We've had so many losses within the last couple of weeks. We've had so many people in the hospital or going through struggles, treatments. Maybe you're here today and you're asking questions. You're doubting God. You're wondering if he's forgotten about you or if he still has a plan for you. And the answer is he still has a plan. No, he hasn't forgotten about you. God's timing is perfect. And I'd like to invite you, if you're here this morning, you feel led, or if you're watching online, you can pray wherever you are today. But I invite you to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me today? May we pray together. God, we come to you today with grateful hearts. We come today with humble hearts. Some of us come with grieving hearts. Others, Lord, come today with burdened hearts. Some have come with broken and, Father, grief, stress-filled hearts. Lord, we pray that you would be near to us. You tell us in your word that you are close to the brokenhearted. Father, we lift up so many who have come to this altar today, people praying from their seats, others praying, God, watching this morning. We ask that you would meet us where we are. Father, we continue to lift up the family of Shirley Chisholm and her passing, and ask that you would comfort them, Lord, and wrap your arms around them and give them peace and comfort. Lord, we have so many in our church family and extended church family that are having health issues. They're going through treatments. They're facing surgeries. Lord, they're going through struggles right now. Would you anoint them and be with them? And if it be your will to heal them completely, that you would be glorified and that people would come to Christ as a result of your divine power. Father, we continue to pray for this church, a lighthouse on the hill, that we would continue to shine brightly the light and love of Jesus, that you would draw people in, God, that are searching, looking for answers, looking for love, looking for forgiveness, looking for direction, looking for peace and joy. Oh God, I pray that you would be with our country, that we would be one nation under God, and that there would be no division, but Father, there'd be unity and harmony. And bless our leaders, God, as they make decisions, both locally and in our state and in our nation. And Father, around the world, we pray for peace. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless this church and protect us from evil and harm, that we would keep in step with your Holy Spirit. that we would never run ahead of you nor lag behind, but keep in perfect step with your Spirit. Lord, I pray today that if there are those here who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that before this service is over, someone or many might come to know Christ, that they might confess their sins, ask for your forgiveness, invite you to come in to their hearts and save them. Father, we'll give you all the praise and the glory. Father, we celebrate with Brittany, we celebrate with Micah, we celebrate with their families, and may their baptism be just the beginning of living a long, fruitful life for you. And may it be an example and a witness, a testimony for others who need to make the same commitment. We ask now that your Spirit would continue to sing and play through our musicians and instrumentalists, and that you would speak through your word and through your servant. And when I am weak, help me to be strong. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10? And I'm so grateful after the reading of God's Word, we'll have a beautiful number by Angela. Thank you for being here today. And thank you for being here today and allowing the Spirit of God to be in this place. Hear these verses that maybe are familiar to many of you, new to others, but certainly relevant to all of us. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 10. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out, so that you can endure it or stand up under it. This is the word of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Angela, for leading beautifully. Tell me the story of Jesus. And that's what we try to do through the music and through the proclamation of God's word. We want to introduce you to Jesus Christ if you've never met him. And we want you to know him personally so that he can change your life and change our lives. I always like to start with a little humor to get us ready to hear more important things. Maybe you heard the story about the neighbor that saw a little boy crying on the stairway. So she went up to him and she said, "Honey, what's the matter?" And the boy in between is sobbing and crying, said, it's my dad. And she said, well, what's wrong with your dad? He said, well, he hit his thumb with a hammer. And she said, then why are you crying? He said, because first I laughed. Do you get it? I was going to tell you all a joke about boxing, but I forgot the punchline. That's enough. Moving on. Today we continue a sermon series that we've been going through called Victory in the Lord in 2024. And we've been looking at some giants that many times we face in our lives. We've looked at the giant of fear. We've looked at the giant of discouragement. Last week, if you were here, we looked at the giant of loneliness. Our theme verse through this series has been 1 Corinthians 15:57, and I encourage you, if you haven't already, to memorize it. It says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray you would understand that we do have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But today we come to another giant that I think can easily trip us up, and a giant that can taunt us and cause us to fall on our Christian journey that we embark on. And I pray today as we face the giant of temptation that God will give you victory. The Greek word for temptation is perismo, and it's the same word used for trial or test. These two go hand in hand, as many times when we are physically and emotionally weak, we are more vulnerable to be attacked by the enemy. But not only when we're physically and emotionally weak, but many times I feel like we're attacked even when we're on a spiritual high. And it's possible that you're growing in the Lord and you thought it was going to be smooth sailing, and you're getting one attack right after the other. Well, we shouldn't be surprised, because remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, it tells us, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. We know three different times Satan tempted Jesus. But we know how the outcome turned out. We see in verse 10, Jesus said to Satan, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus combated the attacks of Satan with the word of God, and he was able to receive the victory. And that same God wants to give you and me victory today. And in our scripture passage, we see Paul writing the church at Corinth. We've talked about this passage and this letter before. It was a church plagued with moral failure. And Paul is writing this church. It was a spiritually immature church. It was a gifted church. But there was a lot of problems within the church. And you've heard it said that during the first century time, if you wanted to say to live like a Corinthian, it meant to live a wild and unrestrained lifestyle, if someone was living like a Corinthian. And so we think about Paul, when he wrote this, was trying to instruct and to restore the church that was dealing with weaknesses such as immorality, divisions, false teachings, and all kinds of issues, abuse of the Lord's Supper. I mean, the list is long, and Paul was trying to help this church to see that this is not how God's people should be living. And I pray today that we would understand that God calls us to be holy and to live differently than the rest of the world. And I pray today that if you're standing in front of the face of temptation, that God might bring you victory today. But the first thing we need to do is we need to be aware. We need to be aware. In verse 12 of our scripture passage, it says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful or watch out that you don't fall. May we never be so prideful or arrogant or so complacent to think that we can't fall. When we know Christ, it does not exempt us from the problem. He just promises to be with us through the problem. And I know today that some of you maybe are being faced with temptation. I think about James' words in James chapter 1, 14 and 15. He said, just as each one is dragged away by those sinful desires and enticed, that these desires give birth to sin. And then sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So we know it begins with that temptation when each person is tempted. And temptation in itself is not a sin. But when we give in to the temptation is when it becomes a sin. Maybe today you're dealing with some temptations of the flesh. It might be sexual immorality. It's possible that it could be that you're dealing with overeating, other sins of the flesh. You could be dealing with a gossip. Maybe you are being tempted to have a critical spirit or a critical heart. It's possible you're dealing with the temptation of drinking and drugging, or maybe you're dealing with the temptation of, an area of social media or smartphones. Look, social media and smartphones are not inherently evil. But when we are so attached and think you can't live without it, that's when it becomes sinful. And when we think about, too, how many likes you have, young people, that's not really important in the grand scheme of things. And sometimes we have the temptation to be so, again, concerned about that we can't hardly say no. When we lose the ability to say no, then that's when an ungodly power has overtaken us. And if you're here today and you don't have the ability to say no, then maybe an ungodly power has overtaken you. If I were to ask you today, has an ungodly power overtaken you, what would you say? Most of us know what sin we struggle with. Most of us know where we're most tempted. And that's why I often tell people, if you know you go to a certain place where you're tempted, or if you know a certain person that tempts you, or a certain thing that tempts you, stay away from them.
Amen.
Don't go there. Don't place yourself in that position where you think you might fall, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But just yesterday, I was speaking to someone, and we were talking about running. I was talking about how I went running on a Friday afternoon, like jogging, running through the neighborhood, and when I was running, it was snowing, it was raining, and it was sleeting all at once. And those pellets were hitting me in the face. I was wide awake as I was running through the neighborhood, but I kept on keeping on, and I felt better about it afterward. And so as I was talking to this guy, he was telling me that he had started running and that he had lost 37 pounds. And I said, wow, you must be running more than I'm running. But then he told the rest of the story. He said, But the real reason that I've lost 37 pounds is I've quit drinking so much beer. And he said, I feel better than I felt in a long time. And he said, now, anytime I'm tempted to take a drink that it was overpowering him, he said, I go running instead. So that's why he's been running a lot. And I praise God that today we need to be aware of those things or people that cause us to stumble and fall. Maybe it's the words you're speaking. Maybe it's the way you're treating someone. And all of us, again, face many different struggles. May we be aware. Secondly, we must be accountable. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized mankind except what is common to man. No temptation has seized you except what is common to mankind. So in other words, don't think whatever you're facing today that no one else understands and no one else has gone that way before, because they have. You are not alone in your struggle. You are not alone in your temptation. As a matter of fact, we read in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as you are, yet is without sin. So we know that even Jesus was tempted, as we just shared at the beginning out of Matthew 4, and he was tempted in every way, but Jesus Christ was able to turn away and not give in to the sin. What about you? Are you giving in, or is it overpowering you? Are you able to resist? And here's the thing. I shared this at the early, and I want to share it with you, and I think I've shared it before. You know what I think the difference is in the church today and the church yesterday? And when I say the church today and the church yesterday, I'm talking about maybe when I was a boy, when I was young. The difference in my understanding from yesterday to today. In the church, we used to shoot our wounded. But I believe today we try to nurse the wounded back to health. And I think that's the big difference. What do I mean by that? If somebody had a moral failure, or somebody was known as that man or that woman or that person, you know, like, oh, there they are over there. Yeah. But today, why do we look at the speck of sawdust in our brother or sister's eye and fail to see the plank in our own? So all of us here today are ones who have fallen, and those of us who have needed to be nursed back to health. So I love what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, when he said, brothers and sisters, and we mentioned this Wednesday night, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should gently restore them, but watch out, unless you fall or be tempted by it. In other words, you don't want to be so holier than thou or so righteous to think, I'm glad I don't have their sin, when you're failing again to see your own, because we all struggle, and to know that we need accountability. Do you have an accountability partner? Do you have an accountability group? Why do you think groups like AA and NA and GA and all these support groups, they have accountability. So someone doesn't keep going out and falling and keep doing the same thing over and over. That's what we as a church family should do, is hold each other accountable. And I have to tell you, my accountability partner is my wife. I don't have to ask her twice to be honest with me. And I'm glad she's not a yes man or woman, but she's an honest, speaking the truth and love person. And you need an accountability partner. Men, you don't need a woman to be your accountability partner. And women, you don't need a man. You need the same sex if you're talking about life issues, or you need a group that will hold it. Years ago, we did a series on guardrails. There are some guardrails you need to put up so you don't slip over and do something and you go, what was I thinking? You have some guardrails to keep you in the right lane and make sure you're not putting yourself in a vulnerable place where you might fall. And I pray today that we would hold each other accountable. I've shared this with you in past times through the years. I've been humbled that some people have asked me to be their accountability partner. I've told you about a gentleman that was a wonderful Christian, but every time he went away on a trip, business trip, which he traveled often, he'd stay in a hotel and he was tempted to watch pornography every time he went. And so, man, I said, what can I do to help you? He said, pray for me. I said, I can do more than that. If you go to an out-of-town meeting and you're at a hotel, you're being tempted, you call me and I will pray with you. And that's exactly what we did. He called, we prayed, and God gave him the victory. Amen. And I know there are others of you, like another person, I shared this before, had a drug issue. And he came and asked me if I would hold him accountable. And we met for over a year. Every Tuesday night, we would pray and do Bible study together so that God would bring victory over his addiction. We all need accountability. Now, I've shared this too, and I've talked to my wife about it. I've had not only my wife, but I've had family members' prayer groups I've asked to hold me accountable. I said, if you see me veering off the right path, if you see me doing or acting in any way, I said, love me enough to tell me the truth. I don't know where you're going. But I also feel like when Paul wrote this, he was writing as a shepherd of the flock, as a pastor with his congregation, because he loved the church, just like I love the church. And I have to be honest with you, I'm hesitant at times when I have seen some of you veering off and posting certain things or living in certain ways. And I've been hesitant to come to you because I didn't want you to say, well, who does he think he is? I love you, and I want you to know how much God loves you, and he's got a better plan for your life. And so I have had to pray about, should I say something or should I not? God, are you going to open the door or not? So please know, if I ever say anything, it's out of love for you. Not to be mean. Now I'm sounding like I'm talking to my children. The reason I tell my children things is the same reason, because I love them and I have their best interest at heart. And young people, don't give in to the temptation to think you got to go along with what everybody else is doing just to fit in. God is looking for some young men and women to walk and live differently than the rest of the world. And I pray today that you would be that person to be a witness and a testimony. Let's hold each other accountable. If you need to go to someone and say, look, would you help me? I pray you would be receptive to that. But then I pray as we continue to look at this passage, if we want victory, know that he always provides a way out. He always provides a way out. The last part of verse 13, and God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Not if, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it or endure it. Did you hear that? God is faithful. When friends are not faithful, when spouses are not faithful, when parents aren't faithful, when children aren't faithful, when ministers aren't faithful, when neighbors aren't faithful, when co-workers aren't faithful, God is always faithful. Always. And today, it's a choice. If you want out, he provides a way out. But so many people don't want out. Did you know that he gives us a choice? I've told you this that many times I tell my children, and we've talked about it in here, if you've got to ask yourself, is this the right thing for me to do more times than not, you already know the answer. If you've got to say, should I be doing this? Should we be saying this? Or, you already know you shouldn't. More times than not, if you've got to ask, you already know the answer. So what are we supposed to do? How does God show his faithfulness? How does he provide a way out? Well, first of all, we can go to him in prayer. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Did Jesus not tell and teach his disciples and us in that great prayer called the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:13 when he said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we read in James 4:7-8, he said, submit then yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Did you hear that? Submit then yourselves to God. And I've shared this with you before, and forgive me for repeating what many of you have heard, but others maybe have not. I told you when I was in grade school, middle school, I went through a grades 1 through 8 school where my dad was principal. And I told you it was the big thing when we'd go in the bathroom, you know, to prove how tough we were and big. So we would play mercy. And I've told you, y'all, some, you know, people don't know what that is. That's what they used to do in championship wrestling. When Bill Superstar Dundee and Jerry Lawler would get in the ring, or Tojo Yamamoto, or I'm throwing way back now. Anyway, and they would start the match out by playing mercy in the ring. Y'all remember that? And then if you were able to overpower, you took them to their knees, and you would say, mercy, mercy. So we would play that, not knowing any better, you know, mercy, mercy, because you were overpowering the other person, showing your dominance. God can overpower any temptation that we're facing today. And all we got to cry out is say, mercy, have mercy on me, God, and he will provide a way out. We pray, we go to God's word to combat the enemy's attacks. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We clothe ourselves with the full armor of God. We submit our lives to the stronger one and resist the devil and come near to God. Let me ask you as we close out today, how close to God are you today? If you were to do a spiritual inventory of your life, how many of you would say when asked, how close to God, how near to God are you? How many of you would say, I'm really close. We are tight. Or how many of us would say, with the head down, I'm just not very close to him anymore. I used to be, but I'm not now. And I want to ask you, why not? Why aren't you close to him? And today you have an opportunity to come back to the one who loves you so much that he would give his own life to save you and me. Won't you come back to him today? Maybe it's that prodigal son, that prodigal daughter, that prodigal child that needs to come home. And when you do, you find the Father's arms open wide. Say, welcome home, child. And he'll love you in his arms. If you've not given your life to Christ, it'd be my privilege to pray with you and you can begin this spiritual journey. We're all going to continue to face temptation, even as followers of Christ. We're just going to be more aware of what they are. Or maybe you're here and you're looking for a church. This is not a perfect church. I'm not a perfect pastor, but we serve a perfect God. As long as you're looking at him, there's no fault in Christ. Or maybe you're here and you're a Christian and you want to get back in the game. You want to recommit your life. You want to submit, surrender to him, and allow him to bring the change that needs to take place If that's you, I'm going to invite you in just a moment to come. Don't let fear or timidity keep you from doing what the Lord would have you to do as we pray together. Father, I pray right now in the stillness of this moment that if there are any people here today or people watching online that have drifted away from you, they're not as close to you as they once were. And Lord, we know that you haven't gone anywhere because you promised to be with us. You're always with us. We're the ones that have drifted away from you. I pray today, God, that if there's someone that has never invited you to come into their heart and life, that today someone would say, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you, God, for saving me and for loving me. I love you, Jesus. Lord, if someone could pray a prayer like that in their own words and begin this eternal journey of living for you. Lord, I pray for Christians that have gotten off track and they've given in to the world. We are not to be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind or spirit to be different than the world, to be in the world but not of the world. Help us, oh God, to have the courage to come and with your Spirit's power make the changes that we need to make. Oh Lord, maybe there are folks looking for a church home. I pray, God, today they would feel your love here, your Spirit, your joy, that they would feel your peace. And Father, we'll just thank you again for your faithfulness and always providing an out. So God, may we be bold now to stand up for Jesus. In his name I pray, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand right now as we sing this beautiful song, and may it be our prayer. And I'd be honored to receive you here at the altar.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the this is what I pray. change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
So excited about this couple that joined, and as they're finishing up, I'm grateful at the early service, Rebecca Coley joined this family of faith. Some of you may know Rebecca or Becky Coley, and she came to unite with this church family. And I said, Becky, how long have you been coming here? She said, 4 or 5 years. I said, well, I'm glad you didn't rush into anything. But I am so thankful for this couple that came, that's coming today to join. Tom and Vic, if you all would come up here beside me. I did a funeral over on the west side of town over at LeCompte Taylor. What is it called? Yes. Johnson Taylor. And I met the Boones there, and they came up to me and said, we know you, but you don't know us. And I began to sing. I always feel like somebody's watching me, too. But anyway, they said, we've been watching the service online. And so they started attending not long after that, and they've been coming a year. And today they're making it official. And Vicky's coming, moving a membership from another church. And Tom is coming, wanting to follow through believer's baptism. And we praise God. And we celebrate with you all and know the Lord has led you here. And let me tell you, even though they weren't an official member, they have been very active. Vicky's already been singing in the choir. Tom and Vicky come to our coffee and connections. They're here for the meal on Wednesday, prayer meeting. They've been very active, and we are so grateful for your decisions to be a part of this family of faith. And I know you want to pledge your love and prayers and support to Tom and Vicky by letting it be known by saying amen, amen, and applause. We welcome you. And I'll let you all be seated. After the service, would you all join me out in the foyer so people can give you a warm welcome? I was also excited that I had two young families after the early service that came requesting membership cards that they're wanting to unite with this family of faith. So God is moving. And I pray that the baptismal waters will keep stirring and people will keep jumping in. And that God will continue to bless this church as he's done so faithfully through the years. And I believe the best is still yet to come. I want a couple of reminders. If you are wanting to go to the Devoted Women's Conference on the first Saturday in March, I've got some good news and bad news. The good news is that if you signed up, it's going to be a great time. The bad news, if you didn't, they're sold out. 500 tickets are sold out, so we praise God. But if you said, oh, I was going to go, there is a waiting list. And if you want to get on the waiting list, sometimes people have unforeseen things to pop up. Then if someone cancels, we'd love for you to go. You'll be blessed. Be praying for the Devoted Women's Conference first Saturday in March. Also, don't forget, Wednesday night, we have a delicious meal. We have a prayer meeting backing up to tonight. Our children meet, our youth, our students meet. We have a discipleship, coffee and connections in the children's wing. So we have something for everyone. I hope you'll be a part of what God is doing here. Thank you for coming. Don't forget how much God loves you and we love you. Sean is going to lead us in a song in a moment, and then Patrick Perry, our Deacon of the Week, is going to come to close us in prayer. So thank you all for being here, Sean.
And one last announcement. Next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., we're having a night of worship here. in the sanctuary. I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Bring somebody with you. It'll be a great time of worship. Our praise teams will be leading us. And you're not going to want to miss out on that special, special night. Let's stand together, church, and let's sing I'll Fly Away.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and for this time that we have to gather as a church family to worship and praise you. Lord, I thank you for the message that we received today from Pastor Todd and the wonderful music we received from Pastor Sean and the praise team. I pray that we reflect on it and apply it to our lives. Be with us as we go out into our communities. Lead us and guide us. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.